Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome fellow travelers to Fate's Wide Wheel. I'm your host, Sam Fain, and I am thrilled to be joined this episode by Nadine Ellis, who plays Connie Davis on the episode The Outsider of Quantum Leap. Nadine, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, of course, Sam. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited. It's funny. I've had a chance to speak to some of the main cast. I've had a chance to speak to writers, directors, producers, but you were the first guest star that I've had the chance to speak to in a while. So I'm really excited.
Oh yeah. Right. After our little bit of a break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's such a unique show in that obviously every week, we're bringing in these guest actors that frankly get a little bit more to do oftentimes than a lot of guest actors on television. And I think that this episode is really true to that, because Connie feels in many ways just as much the lead in this episode as Ben does, which is so exciting. And I felt like, I'll just say it up front, I felt like you were incredible throughout the episode. I felt very connected to Connie's story. I thought it was a great script, but I you were able to take that and really run with it. So I'm looking forward to being able to talk a little bit about the process and the episode in general.
Thank you so much. I felt exactly the same way. I mean, especially after our bit of a break last year, it was nice. I started this episode right before Christmas, and then we came back and finished at the top of the year. But it was just such a pleasure to come back to this set, this crew, this cast after that bit of a break. And exactly to your point that you get to kind of spread your wings and fly in a different way than you do in a lot of guest star situations. So I was over the moon, not to mention the fact that I was a huge Quantum Leap, watcher back in the day with Scott.
Nice.
So to come to, even when that audition came up, I was like, I'm so in, I got goosebumps immediately. So it was so great when I got the call.
Well, you're going to make this easy because you just answered my first question without me even having to ask it. So can you talk a little bit about that audition process and did you get sides that were from the actual script, or were they sort of dummy sides, and did you get to read with Ray, or were you reading, with other folks?
Yeah, it was just a self-tape. It was pretty much what you saw. It changed a little bit, but it was pretty much what we shot. So nice. I got a real script, but just clips of the scene as opposed to the full scenes. But enough so that I understood where she was coming from and what her dilemma was and where she had to go and where Ben was going to take her. So it was just a fun one. And I literally just put it on tape. But again, I had the goosebumps and I connected with her very quickly. And ironically, way back in the day, during college, I had an internship where I dabbled in news, like in public access. And I thought for a while that I was going to get into news. And I remember kind of the first time I had to cover a funeral and had to put a microphone in the faces of people grieving. I was like, oh, I don't know if news is necessarily my thing, like hard news. And then I thought, well, maybe entertainment news. I kind of, I always had that affinity and the feeling of being out on the street, kind of producing your pieces yourself, all of those things. And so I thought maybe entertainment news, but it's ironic in my acting career, this is the first time I've had an opportunity to play a news reporter. So I was like, yes, fine. I told my parents, I was like, that college money paid off.
Right. you say you connected with the character of Connie, and that was something that Deborah had mentioned to me, because I had the chance to speak to Deborah Pratt as well. And what was it about Connie that made it easy for you to connect to the role?
Well, I think we all understand that space of especially if you're an adult and you've been adulting for a while, we understand the space of you go after your dreams and you may have a few potholes along the way, but sometimes you have a full on crash and you're like, ooh, okay. And you get up and you walk away from it. And there's a moment of disorient, indentation where you're really trying to figure out which way is up again. And I felt like that's where she was. She understood she kind of hit this wall. She had to reframe, move to a new city, kind of, you know, recreate herself and go and almost be resigned in the space of like, well, this is it. This is all I have left. Like, this is all I get. And Ben really kind of helps her to reconnect to herself. And I think that's what's so great about the show, that that's every week. Every week it's like, hey, we get it. Something's gone wrong in your life and he's going to help you get back. And we all wish we had a Ben and an Addison, you know,
right,
who could step in and go do this, like go left, you know? And I think it's just, that's the hopeful nature of the show, that yes, you are going to fall. Yes, things have gone wrong or things haven't gone the way you expected, but there's a way to turn it around. There's a way to stand back up. And so that's what I connected with her, because as an actor, believe it or not, Sam, there's times where you feel like, is all lost? Should I go try something else? You know, and so I understood that, especially after the year that we had with SAG and AFTRA last year. So I understand that feeling of like, well, maybe this is all I get to do. I don't get to fully, you know, express myself in the way that I hoped, but I'll take this. And I think that's where Connie is. She's in a space of like, I guess I'll take this. This is good enough. And gets to tap back in and go, wait a minute, no, you know, I deserve more.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's fascinating. And you touched on something that I think a lot of people can connect with, because even when you look at the, you know, the pandemic and the way that it halted a lot of people's careers, and, you know, I'm a regional theater actor and based out of Chicago. And so the pandemic halted everything. And even before the pandemic, you know, things had been kind of grinding to a halt for me, and I'd been struggling a bit with where I should go, what my next, you know, move was going to be. And I was, you know, working in a nonprofit arts company and just kind of like trying to figure out like, okay, well, maybe I'll do this now. And I think that once things started to kind of open back up again, it's strange the way that, you know, opportunities can sometimes present themselves, and you can kind of feel that motivation to go back to something, and to, you know, and you get that push, and you know, in this case, obviously you get the push from somebody like Ben in the context of the episode. But I do think that ultimately one of the things that I love about the episode too is that Ben really does it more through empathy than by just, you know, kind of ordering Connie around, right? Like saying like, if you do this, this will happen. It's there's much more empathy there. The chemistry that you had with Ray through the course of the episode, I thought was just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about working with him and what it's like to come into a situation where, you know, there's an established cast and crew and they've, you know, they've got their rhythm, and it's a little bit different for Ray. I was talking with one of the producers about this because he's working with new people every week, whereas the HQ folks are working with, you know, the same people. They kind of get that experience a little bit more. But just, you know, coming in as the outsider, no pun intended, what was it like, and what was it like working with Ray?
You know, all the way up from my fitting to my makeup, like stopping into the makeup trailer to say hi, everyone was like, have you met Ray yet? Like every single person along the way. It was to the point that I was like, well, where's Ray? Because like, seriously, honestly, like that day I came in for my fitting, I felt like I encountered four people that were like, have you met Ray yet? He's amazing. You're going to love him. You're going to love him. Like that was just the feeling. And you don't always get that. I mean, quite honestly, for me, I don't know if I've ever had that where someone was like, have you met the core cast? Like, you know, generally I come onto sets and I think there is a bit of a camaraderie among actors where we know, right? Especially if you are a guest star, I mean, or rather if you are a series regular and you see a guest star, we all know that space for the most part. So they're usually very welcoming. But I've never encountered that where everyone was so on this guy's, they were on his And so when I met him, you know, he was so exactly what I thought from what they told me. And he was just so welcoming and so cool. Like, seriously, just so cool from moment one with both myself and Caitlin was amazing. I mean, like, we just immediately, it was like, boom, day one. And when I told him later on that day, I was like, I have to tell you, like, seriously, like, more like probably about four people told me, have you met Ray? He's amazing. And he was like, whatever, you know. And I was like, dude, you're kind of the real deal. And throughout the process, so generous, so open and so welcoming. Like, you know, especially when you are coming into somebody else's house, you want to make sure you take your shoes off and you abide by all the rules of the cast and crew. But they were like, yeah, come on, keep the shoes on, whatever, it's fine. Like, come on, the water is warm. And so it was really such a lovely way to come back to work after that big break.
Yeah. You know, I think that one of the things that I loved so much about Connie and your work in the episode, and again, this speaks to the writing as well, but I think it speaks a lot to what you get to do, is that there are so many levels to this role, and so many levels that you get to play. And can you talk a little bit about the arc of the character and, you know, what you saw as sort of, you know, how you were going to color this in and bring what you have, what you work with, your tools to the table to tell that story?
Yeah, you know, I thought, well, first of all, shout out to Margarita Matthews and Ramey Park, who wrote this episode. And of course, Deborah Pratt is, I was blown away. I was just like, wait, what? You know, she's directing the episode. So, I mean, like, they're amazing. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to work with Ramey one-on-one. She was away on something else, but Margarita and Deborah were there the whole way and so supportive. And really what they wrote on the page just jumped out to me. And I just wanted to be the vessel to just step in and allow for all of the things that were already on the page, because her sense of comedy was there. Her sense of teasing was there. Her sense of mama bear was there. Her sense of being in complete distress and falling apart. It was all there. And it's so rare when you get that as a guest star, right? Normally you kind of come in and you're like, it was Fred and you're out, you know, like that's, you kind of say what it is and it's like, bye. You know, and it was so nice that really we got to see her from the very first moment where, you know, she's boss lady, let's go, to this is a big moment for me, I don't want to mess this up, like all of her vulnerabilities, all of the spaces of who she is as a person, and being able to see the person behind it. You know, I think we can all appreciate that when we find a space of wow, you feel that too in anyone, especially someone on TV, your local news person, and you kind of always see them in their perfect state, to see her kind of fall apart and or just be a little nervous or be anxious about what job she had ahead of her as she's trying to build herself back up. I thought was just so beautifully done in the writing. And then, of course, Deborah was just amazing in just guiding me. She would just be like, it was like a hand on my back going, go, go, you got it, go, just fly, fly. And so it was, honestly, it was all those ladies. They had it on the page, and I just got out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I've yet to actually do my solo review of the episode, which I'll do later, but I think that the script, and it's funny because Margarita has written some episodes that are very popular with the fans. The one of the posters behind me, Oh, Ye of Little Faith, for instance, is one that she wrote in the first season that people really just loved. And in spite of that, I feel like this is her strongest work in so many ways. And, you know, what a gift, right? To be able to have a script like that to work from. And then Deborah, I mean, Deborah's phenomenal. I mentioned this to you earlier, but I got to speak to her earlier today, and she's in Uganda right now. And she still set aside, you know, time to talk to me while she's having an adventure. And I've spoken to her a number of times over the past year or so, which is a delight for me, because, you know, I've been doing this podcast now for like 6.5 years and covered the classic series, but it's only within the past year and a half or so where I've been able to start to talk to some of the people involved with the show. So Deborah was huge for me in so many ways, you know, just like, oh my gosh, it's Deborah,
it's,
you know,
Deborah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about working with her, and if there's anything, you know, is specific that stands out, a moment in particular that stands out, that she really like gave you something that just, it felt like it pushed you in that right direction?
Oh, absolutely. Like overall, I just have to say she was pretty hands off. Like she just kind of, you know, she would come in and go, yeah, I love that moment where you did that. And then she'd walk away, you know, like she would come in, like, that was amazing. Okay. Keep that going. You know, like she was pretty much hands off. Like so long as I wasn't doing anything that was like, oh, that's a little to the left or to the right. She kind of just let me be, but without giving anything away, there's a moment where I'm really at the height of my distress. And she just kept saying, go. She just kind of pushed me to go. She's like, blow the doors off. Like, just go for it. Like, don't feel like you have to hold anything back. It's not like a, you know, cause certain shows, they all say, they're like, ooh, a little much. Like, whoa, this is network television. Calm down. Yeah. And she was just like, go for it. She was like, go for it. Like, she was just my coach, just saying, you got it. Just trust yourself and go. And I did, like, it was wonderful. I remember the first take, I surprised myself and I was like, and that's such a gift, you know, as an actor, it's such a gift when you're like, what? Like, you literally got out of the way and the character is able to kind of fly free with, you know, all the parameters that you've worked on and you put into place, and it just happens. And so she was so great for that. Just such just amazing. Not to mention her connective tissue to the original series and now this one. And so it was just a gift in itself just to be around her, let alone to have her, you know, kind of just guiding me was incredible.
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. I love what you said about getting out of the way. I had an acting teacher and that was one of the things that he said to me, like towards the very end of my time with him. And he was just like, just get the hell out of the way and let it happen. You know? And it's just like, that's the best. It's just like when that happens. You mentioned Caitlin earlier, and one of the challenges I think for the show and it's got to be, you know, sometimes you're almost left wanting because, you know, there's this other actor in the room and, you know, especially like training, it's like you want to connect with everybody, you want to listen, you want to react, you want to, but you can't know that she's there at all. What's it like, you know, doing that? And you know, what was it like having Caitlin in the room and what she brings to the room during those scenes?
Well, first of all, I just want to talk about the energy she brings onto set. She's got such a playful, incredible energy, just like girlfriend energy immediately, like absolutely immediately. It was like, come on, girl. And I was like, oh, okay. So she's amazing with that. And I was so proud of myself because I looked at her once in the one scene. I was like, uh-oh. I just remember having that like, oh, you're not there. Okay, never mind. You know? But it's great. I mean, like, she's great. But I did, like, I had that challenge and I kind of, you know, at the beginning of each day, I was like, okay, she's not really here. So just connect with Ben. Like, you're just with Ben, you know? And it is, there's certain interesting takes where sometimes she was right next to me and you kind of have to like look around, you know, look through her, you know, so that we kind of keep the realism of the apparition, if you will. So, and it's hard because sometimes, and she's that one, she'll sometimes she's like, when she's off camera, she's like, right? And I'm like, girl, she's like, she was great. Yeah. But one time she got me one time where I was like, right, girl. Oh no, that's, you're not here. Okay.
That's fantastic. One of the things, that's nice about being able to talk to you right now is because, you know, I've seen the episode and this will actually air after the episode is aired. So we can talk a little bit about some, you know, some spoilery type stuff.
Oh, great.
And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is that, you know, we get this moment where Connie starts to sort of like, you know, reclaim her power a bit and really is like, I'm gonna get back into this. And then of course it gets derailed when we find out that the car explosion, that we think that Robbie was in the car and died. That scene just stands out to me, and it's lovely because within the context of the episode we revisit it, you know, almost immediately because we see the tape playing as well. Just as an actor, can you talk a little bit about kind of that moment and also the, you know, the way that it plays out where we do see it from kind of multiple perspectives, if you will, because we get to see the videotape playing later on after the scene has actually taken place.
Yeah, it was really, it's really, it was just a beautiful way to, the way the episode kind of starts up where you see this woman who's like, okay, I got to get back on the horse. She's attempting to get back on the horse. And as you say, she finds herself, being reinvigorated with this idea of like, yes, I'm going to get this story. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go full force. And then bam, she hits another wall. And she finds herself once again back on her heels, not really sure, a little disoriented, and now resigned to resign. Like, really, she is out of it. She's like, I'm done. I keep hurting people and I'm not doing this anymore. And so it was specifically that night of shooting the scene with Robbie's explosion behind us, like just like the adrenaline of like, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to grab, we're going to make it happen. And just to have that like crestfallen space. And that night when we shot that scene back at the office, it was that was really, that's the scene I'm talking about where Deborah just really said, go girl, just go. And it crushed me, crushed my very spirit, but it was such a beautiful expression of, When you feel like there's no other way, like you just have to, you have to go away, you have to let go of the dream, because you're hurting people or you're hurting yourself, or this is not the right space to be in anymore. And to allow myself to fully fall into the very bottom depths of despair was so freeing in a really interesting way. I don't know if I have fully release some of the angst and the fear around the just as us as actors with our strike. And so it was just a nice way to completely bottom out and just the journey on set of connecting those pieces from that night where we had the fire department and, you know, we had all of our background actors and that moment and the excitement of, you know, kind of jumping out of the van and getting to it and I'm back in the saddle and then boom, you know, falling off that horse again. It was such a ride and it was really fun. Sad, but fun.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that scene afterwards that you're mentioning, there was this strange catharsis because one of the things, you know, you say that you were too overzealous and, you know, and somebody took their own life because of what you did. And I think one of the things that was so moving for me, it wasn't just the fact that you were blaming yourself for the death of someone else, but you were blaming the very things that made you good at what you do. So like all of these positive things, you know, that again, your power, you're blaming that part of yourself for this horrible tragedy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously it makes sense. Like, of course, like why would she ever want to, you know, touch journalism again or be in front of a camera again? Especially now that it's happened a second time. But there was just it was a wonderful moment, and in spite of being incredibly sad and moving, there was something about it that I just really appreciated the way that it was put together. Of course, the flip side of that is that we then get you in the news van later on, and Ben comes to you, and it has that lovely moment of empathy where I think he's telling you that it's not your fault, and that obviously that Robbie's still out there, and that, you know, we can still do some good. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the way that scene, just as an actor, affected you, especially coming after? I mean, obviously, I know things are not shot in sequence, but coming after the fact that, you know, everything is kind of just gone to hell now, and you know you're done. What was that moment like for you? Because I felt like with Ray's performance specifically in that moment, there was just something so beautiful about the sensitivity with which he approached it and offering, you know, that empathy to Connie. So I'm curious what effect that had on you and just that scene in the van, what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really credited to Ray because he did. He came in with such a soft touch. Just such a gentle hand and realizing what this person has been going through and wanting to tell her, it's okay. It's not, we're not done. You're not done until it's done. So let's get up and do it, you know? And, I really do give him the credit for specifically that scene. Cause he had all you had to do is look into his eyes. There was just so much there. He had so much generosity, not only for me as an actor, but like within the story, he wanted to see this woman succeed and realize that like she was ready to chuck it all because apparently I'm broken, you know? And sometimes, and I think we all understand that feeling like, well, clearly I'm just not good at this. So I'm just going to walk away. And he is that olive branch that said, no, you got, this is just, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. Let's move on. And I credit that to him in that moment. I really, all I had to do was just look at him and I was like, bro.
Well, I love too that it's not a, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps sort of moment. You know, there's this acknowledgement of this pain and this awfulness, and you know, I can't imagine how terrible that was for you. And I just love that you know that it is a softer touch, that there is sensitivity and empathy involved in it, because to me, that's that recognizes the human being and not the situation. Whereas that pull yourself up by the bootstraps, it's all about like, well, you got to do this, you know. Right. So
now you have to do it. And also, I will say too, for Ray, he's also threading in Ben's journey, right? And with what's totally happening with him, and so he fully understands. Like, I get it. You know, he understands that feeling of loss and trying to make it work, and it just doesn't work. And so I think he layered in that so beautifully, both of those stories and where he was in that moment and trying to help Connie.
Yeah. This just popped into my head. How aware are you of the larger story that's being told, like just in the frame of this episode, like mm-hmm. with the HQ scenes, for instance? Do you just know kind of your stuff in the leap, or are you also kind of aware of what's happening with the rest of it?
Yeah, I am aware. We luckily do get the entire script.
But oh, cool.
I'm really just, you know, obviously our focus is our side of the story, but yes, totally. Yes, I'm able to see what's happening on the other side.
Yeah. Wait, because the reason I ask is, you know, you brought up like Ray and Ben's story and kind of threading that through, is I think one of the things that the show has done so well, especially this season, is having that, you know, that mirror between what's happening in the present day and what's happening on the leap. And so there's these kind of really interesting workplace dynamics and, you know, heavy stuff happening back at HQ. And then of course we've got, you know, the situation here. So it's just, it's interesting the way that sometimes, you know, it's a thematic thing as opposed to it being, you know, oh, the team is just trying to help Ben figure out what, you know, he needs to do.
From an episode space, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, of course, after this, you guys have to go and see Robbie. And I just wanted to mention Charlie Bowden real quick, because I felt like he gave a great performance as Robbie. Just wonderful stuff. And, you know, again, this is the scene where I feel like we really start to see Connie. You know, she's kind of tiptoed her way in a couple of previous scenes, but this time it's just sort of like, it's not relying on, oh, I know a guy at the precinct who can get me the phone number to the, you know, that the telephone booth was called into or whatever. It's really a moment of power. Like, I'm doing this because I know that this is the right thing to do. Can you talk a little bit about that scene? Were there any rehearsals that you guys got to do? Was it just like get in front of the camera and go? And just what Charlie brought to it as well.
First of all, Charlie was amazing, like amazing from moment one. Ironically, my very first scene was with him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, both of our first days. And he just brought such a, younger sibling fighting for survival moment in the family within the story, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And really a different kind of sibling fight where, you know, he's playing the younger brother of this very powerful company and realizing that things have gone the wrong way and trying to find, he doesn't want to betray his family, but at the same time, he can't betray himself. And so he just did that so beautifully. He had like all this, it was this, all this angst, this bubbly angst. I could see him as a little boy. I kept seeing him as a little boy because he had such that energy, you know? And so it was very easy that specifically, I think you're talking about when we find him at the motel and I kind of slowly coerce him. Maybe it's not the right word, but I encourage him. I encourage him to listen to his self, to himself and to his own sense of morality and to do the right thing, not just for the family, but really for the greater good. Because he's aware. I mean, I think they're both of the brothers are aware, like,
right.
This is going to hurt people. But oh well, you know.
Yeah.
So it was, and it was just so, you know, again, another actor where you just look into his eyes and they're so connected. They're so there. There's no like, there's no need to act, right? You just have to be in the moment with them. And he had that really beautiful quality of allowing. And it was cool to play.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, it definitely comes across. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And then, of course, you know, there's the interview scene with Chet, as played by Matthew Polkamp. And the thing that I love about not only this scene, but also the earlier scenes where you're in front of the camera and, you know, you're doing the newscaster thing, is that there are times where I feel like, you know, actors play newscasters and they're, you know, in front of a camera being, you know, broadcast journalist, and it feels like an actor being a broadcast journalist. And that is not the case. Like, I bought in, and especially we get that moment when we're seeing the videotape, like after the cars exploded, for instance, you know, it's just sort of like, I felt like I was watching a, you know, a video from 1981 of somebody's news broadcast. The sit down interview felt the same way. And I just loved your approach to it. Can you talk, and obviously you had mentioned earlier that you, you know, you had that internship at school and stuff, but can you talk a little bit about your approach to bringing that, that honesty to this aspect of the role? And if you felt like that there was like a duty to kind of like, to do that, to actually just be that thing.
For sure. I do. I too am always a little annoyed when I see actors that are like, tonight on 11 o'clock news, and you're like, what's what world is this? What's happening? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say, I think that we're seeing more of this, and I think it will shift the way people take to it. We're seeing more films using actual, you know, news people, whether they're anchors or they're reporters. They're actually using a lot of local, I know a lot of local LA talent is being used, a lot of local LA news. My, you know, 6 a.m. team is now popping up in Marvel or whatever it is. And because they realize that when they bring someone in who, I don't know where the disconnect is. And yes, I did have a moment in the news world, but I don't, you can watch in any industry, right? We are just trying to, we're just the storytellers. We're just trying to, we're all around the campfire trying to tell our part of the story, right? So yeah. I don't understand where that, like, super, I am on TV. Like, I don't know where that comes from. And so when you just play the honesty of the moment, like, people are going to die and you knew about it. And what are we doing? Do you want to speak to that? You know, do you want to answer this question? And again, Margarita and Rainey just kind of had it on the page, but it was very easy. And Chet, Matthew who played Chet was, it was very easy to be like, listen.
I again, you know, I just feel like the guest cast for this episode, and again, you know, the script, like you say, the script is so strong, but like everyone did such a wonderful job. And I loved what Matthew did with Chet, because it wasn't just like mustache twirling villain, you know, that there was, you really kind of felt like, that's a real person. Like, that's, we know that person. We don't like that person, but we know that person.
Yeah. Charismatically, you know, that charisma, he had like such charisma, yet you know that this dude does not care. He's like, my account will thank me later, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The money and the power, it's like, I'm good. Yeah. So the, I mean, really the culmination, I feel like, of Connie's storyline comes, you know, towards the end of this. And I love the way that it happens, because Ben and Addison are kind of having their wrap up of the story, you know, behind the wall. And then Ben asks, you know, what happens to Connie? And Addison's like, you know, why don't you see for yourself? I love the fact that, and again, credit to the writers, obviously, it's left to Connie to make this decision, that this doesn't come from Ben. Like, maybe indirectly by Ben's support throughout the course of the episode, she has the confidence to do this, but ultimately it's her. Could you talk about that moment, that decision to go back in for the final question, the decision to just, you know, really put the button on this interview? And what that was like for you as an actor, because it's so powerful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was so great, because it's like, it's everything that she has been kind of pressing the brakes on in her life, right? She keeps slowing down. She's just like, because, you know, at one point she was going 100 miles per hour and she was taking the curves and she was, you know, managing her life, managing her career. Things were going great. Again, that accident happened. She gets disoriented. So now she's driving again, and now it's more, you know, now it's speed limit, right? And then she hits again. And now she's not even getting on the highway. She's just going as slowly as possible just to make sure that she doesn't hurt anyone. And in this moment, she gets to decide, like, but I can, like, I have the ability to do it. And just because these two things happen doesn't necessarily mean that I'm a bad person, or what I do is like, what I do can in fact help to save so many. It's my duty. Like, I think she feels the need to, like, you know, there's that hesitation where she's going to let him go. Thank you so much. This, you know, this is all the time we have left. Thank you so much. And then that gnawing feeling, and we all have it, whatever it is that you do, we all have that feeling of like, no, I can go further. I can do more. I can do a few more hours. I can make this happen. And it's that moment where she's like, where the rubber truly meets the road. And she says, actually, I have one more question for you. She's ready to go in and stop this atrocity that she knows is going to happen, or that she believes is going to happen from Ben's, you know, intuition.
Absolutely. I don't want to keep you too long, but I just have a couple more questions for you. Can you just sort of, if you had to sum up your experience working on Quantum Leap and your feelings about, you know, coming off of this and now, of course, everyone's going to see it. What would you want to say?
I'm walking on sunshine is what it felt like. It really did. It was just such, this was one of those, I've been an actor for a long time. I've done a lot of guest stars. I've been a series regular on a couple of shows. And this was one of those, gifts that really just, it just filled my heart. It was like, right, this is the reason, right? It felt so good to have this full circle moment of being like, you know, a young woman watching the original show and going, oh man, like I would love to. You know, like really when it was just like the whisperings of like, you should do that, you know, for myself, right? My own little Connie going, you should maybe do that. And me going, oh, I don't know, that's, you know, and finding my speed and realizing that I am able to take on more than I thought. So to watch the original show and then to be a part of this show and to be a part of this show at this time in my life after what's been happening in our industry, it was just, it felt like a reawakening of like, this is why you do it. This is totally why you do it. And going on set every day was such a joy. The last day it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet because I just felt like,
It's so funny because even as an outsider looking in, like I've had that feeling a number of times where it's just sort of like, no, I don't want them to go. Like, you know, I want to see Connie again. You know, there's an episode in the first season, somebody up there likes Ben, and John Chaffin plays this older brother of a boxer. And by the end of the episode, I remember when I got to talk to the writer, I was just sort of like, he can come back, right? Like there's some way that you could, you know, and there are, it doesn't happen all the time, frankly, but there are some times where you're just like, oh, please, please come back. I want to see Connie again, you know?
John Chaffin, by the way, who I love, we were in a class together years ago. I mean, like, awesome. I love that actor. Yeah, he's amazing. And so yeah, I get it. Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe we could find a way for John.
Right? I know Connie can interview his character again, like, you know, 1985 ish or something like that, and it'd be lovely. There's another episode in there.
Like the way you're thinking, Sam. I like it.
My final question for you, and I've been asking this more and more to folks, just because I think we lost a member of the community, the Quantum Leap community and fandom, a very special, very important human. His name is Matt Dale, and he'd written a number of books about Quantum Leap and had been a co-host of another Quantum Leap podcast, the Quantum Leap podcast, actually. Mm-hmm. And he was a good friend of mine, someone that I miss dearly. And I've just been thinking a lot about over the past couple of months about the things that, you know, inspire us and move us to do the things that we do, because I know that Matt was obviously inspired by this show to create so much work around it. And so the question that I'll pose to you is, what inspires you?
You know, my parents are from Jamaica, West Indies, and they are a huge part of my inspiration in a lot of what I do, because I know that they love their country, but they fought like so many immigrants do to come to this country, to give their children the possibility to do whatever they wanted. And, you know, my very conservative very religious parents, you know, and I was just like, because I started off as a dancer and they were like, okay, yeah, sure, dance, you know. And then, you know, when it came down to school, they were like, you could do whatever you want, but you're going to school. You know, like education was very, very high up on the list for them. And then I was like, I want to act. And I know they were, I had that moment with Io at the Emmys, her experience with her parents, where she's like, I'm sure my parents loved the fact that I was like, I want to do sketch comedy. You know, I felt this, I completely understood. I had a kindred spirit moment with her. But just in knowing that they worked so hard to allow me to do whatever I wanted to do and how different my life would have been had I not been born here, that is a huge inspiration to me to really to honor them by doing it as much as I possibly can and to allow myself to fully like dive off the edge and just really go for it and not pull any punches, not hold anything back and really, really live your life because these two people worked really hard to make sure that you could. And so I think that's the hugest part of my inspiration.
That's lovely. I'm never going to stop asking that question because I get so many lovely answers, but that is a lovely, lovely answer.
Thank you. It's a great question. It's a great question. Because yeah, why are we here? What are we doing this for?
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Well, Nadine, this has been such a pleasure. I cannot thank you enough for coming on. I could talk to you for hours, I'm sure. And, you know, whatever you're doing next, if we get the opportunity to do it again, I would be happy to. But yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for your work. Thank you for your work, because seriously, I think Connie is just an incredibly realized, honest, true, wonderful human being. And it really was a moving performance getting to see, you know, start to finish. I was just so invested. I'd heard good things even before I saw the episode. A couple of people have been like, oh yeah, the guest star in this one, she's great. And literally from the first moment you were on the screen, it was just such a pleasure. So thank you for your work.
Thank you so much, Sam. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, fellow travelers, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Stay safe out there. And remember, always, always leap responsibly.